High Vibe Nation is live. Welcome to the High Vibe Nation, where we have set out to raise the vibration of every human being on the planet. Your hosts on this journey are Sherry Gideon. So let's join them now in their current interview with a high vibing individual.
Hello and welcome to High Vibe Nation, the number one positive media show focused on raising the vibe of the planet, a space for you to remember the power within you. It's a love revolution. And today I have two amazing people that you're going to just absolutely love. And today we're talking about Sean Adams. He's an ICF internationally certified life coach with an extensive background in IT. And we're joined by his amazing wife, Tia Adams, who is a certified special education teacher. And together they have invested over 30 years in mentoring thousands of students and adults, helping them to develop their strengths and overcome obstacles. Their international travels and service as licensed ministers and collaboration with various nonprofit organizations have cultivated their love for service. And Sean and Tia have been married for 22 years and are the proud parents of three wonderful children and an adorable Maltipoo. They are experts at coaching leaders, influence creators, and high performance achievers to realize their purpose and discover their inner genius. And we are welcoming on to the show Sean Adams and Tia Adams. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
Thank you.
So good to have you. And I love to start everyone out on the show with a serious question here. And I want you both to answer.
Okay.
And that is, what does it mean to be high vibe to you? Who's going first?
Okay, I'll go first. High vibe, I believe, is a state of mind. It's a mindset where you're constantly focused on high vibrational feelings and emotions. Those things that love, kindness, gratitude, all of those things that keep you in a space of happy thoughts and positivity.
And Sean?
Well, we have a whole chapter. We didn't get into it yet, but in our book, we have a whole chapter on understanding vibration for the Christian. And so I've pretty much done a lot of extensive research with Dr. Carl Jung and the map of consciousness. So for us, high vibrational is very similar to what one of my favorite coaches says. You know, she says, stay at 500 or above, love or above. So for us, it's staying in a state where we are feeling good, where we're removing of limiting beliefs, where anything that's low vibration, you know, in terms of fear, hate, shame, guilt, those things are not allowed, you know, in our immediate space. And that keeps us in a space of inner peace.
Yes.
So that's what I would define as high five.
I love that. That's so, and, you know, and it's so individualized to each of us. I know for myself, high vibe is just staying in perfect alignment with the truth of who I am, the I am that I am. And just knowing that there's no separation between us and that, that this vibration of pure love, if we could ever imagine pure love, it's beyond what we could analyze or rationalize. It's this feeling of just absolute joy and freedom.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm super enthused to have both of you. I mean, two furs. And Gia, baby Gia, too. How did
say
I get
hello,
Gia.
Oh, hi, Gia.
Say hello.
Hi.
Hi, Gia. Well, I am so enthused about this topic, the topic of your new book. So which one of you want to start out and tell us the name of your new book and tell us a little bit about your life and your story that got you to, you know, the point where you're writing this book?
Mm-hmm. The name of the book is Defrag Your Life, Discover Your Genius. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now. Basically, the book is, it's a book of lessons that Tia and I have learned throughout our entire life. Here's the thing. 3 years ago, I feel like I almost lost my wife, and underneath her being incredibly sick. And I'm a super Christian. I consider myself a super Christian. Grew up in the church, whole nine yards, served as a licensed minister, served the church for years upon years, Baptist, non-denominational, everything. So 3 years ago, my wife got sick, and I didn't know what to do. I fasted, I prayed. She was on all these different meds. We'd gone to all these doctors. The life was being sucked out of her, and I was like, God, I need you to show me something beyond what I've seen, because I'm not getting the results that I need. And it looks like life is being sucked away from her. Mm-hmm. And he started introducing me. The next day, I was led to a book on chakras. Mm-hmm. I started reading on chakras, and then I started reading on Reiki. Then I started, eventually we realized that a lot of her problems were actually inward. Mm-hmm. And she was dealing with stress and some other things that she wasn't aware of. She became aware of them, and then the problem subsided, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's a whole nother story. But my journey continued into reading. I would read like books all day long, just 5 and 6 books a week on science, philosophy, mathematics, religion. And as a good old Christian boy, I'm looking for, Jesus, mm-hmm. right? So I'm like, all right, so Jesus in Reiki, where's Jesus in the chakras, where's Jesus in law of attraction? And I didn't find initially, but I kept reading. Like I was like, I'm reading. I'm like, I feel you there, but where exactly are you? And then maybe 3 or 4 months after her situation happened, and I'm into all these readings, I'm like, there you are. You're everywhere. You're the essence of everything. And then when I started feeling him in the things that I was reading, I started realizing that a lot of the things that I were reading is actually in the words, it's just language.
Yeah.
So King James wasn't saying law of attraction back in the day, but he would say, as a man thinketh, so is he, or whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. These are all concepts of law of attraction. So Tia and I started talking about these things, about the stuff that I was reading. We started talking about our life experiences, and we would talk for hours upon hours upon hours for just months at a time. And we just started writing and writing and writing all of our lessons that we've had, everything that we've learned in church, to try to figure out a way if we can bridge the gap between the mindfulness community and Christians who believe that this stuff is stuff.
Yeah.
That's, that's that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's all one stuff. It's all one thing. So we decided to write a book called Defrag Your Life. Defrag, of course. Now, I'm a 20-year IT veteran professionally. I would fly all around the world working on servers and protecting networks from hackers. And one of the things that I have learned about is defragmenting your computer.
Right.
So defrag your computer means you basically make it faster. You're taking the bits of data that are all over the place and you're almost bringing them around on the hard drive to one specific space so that you can access it faster. And that's how T and I kind of look at the world right now, the universe. It's fragmented ever since the Big Bang, and we want to defrag. We want to bring everything together, and so that's what we've done in this book: is brought together the conversations for Christians, mm-hmm. and trying to help them see that the things that you and I talk about, Sherry,
yeah,
my wife talk about, law of attraction, mindfulness, Reiki, all that stuff, it's all in the word.
Exactly.
It's mm-hmm. all one. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the essence of the book.
Oh, well, I love it. I love it, Tia. So Tia, tell us a little bit about where you were, because the beauty of what Sean just shared is the fact that you could come together as a couple, that you were open yourself to start discussing, you know, where is God? People think that, God is the man in the sky, or, God is mm-hmm. out here, when God is in every single one of us, mm-hmm. everything that exists, the birds, the mm-hmm. trees, flowers, the air that we breathe, yeah. and that there's no separation between us and God. But take us a little bit on your own journey and tell us about how this started for you.
Yeah. So, like Sean talked about, I noticed, years ago, like back when I had my first daughter, I remember pulling my back out. And so, that was something that kind of stuck with me over the years. But at this one particular time when I woke up one day and I had neck pain, and I didn't think anything of it. I went to work. went through my day, taught my classes, and this pain just continued to ache and continued to bother me. And it got to a point where the next day, two days after that, I woke up and I could barely move. I felt like I was paralyzed from the neck down. And I went to the hospital. They gave me cortisone shots. I was on hydrocodone. I was on all of these medications and nothing seemed to work. Long story short, as Sean was looking for a cure and prayer, and I had people praying for me, after all of that, I finally realized that, as Fannie Lou Hamer say, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I finally said, God, what is it? What is the lesson? What do I need to learn from this? And in that moment, he talked about how I was taking on too much. I was trying to handle things that was out of my control. And one thing that I learned is that my physical pain was a manifestation of my internal pain, or my internal struggles. And that was manifesting itself as pain on the outside. And so when I got that understanding, that is when finally the pain released. I no longer experienced that pain anymore. It was just like, as almost like a snap of a finger, like it just went away. And it was in those times that, as Sean was talking about the different things that he was reading about, and we would have these conversations, we talk about the knower. It's something inside of you that just feels right and feels connected. And so as he would share these concepts with me, I would check my knower and I was like, yeah, that's right. I believe that. And then I would make, you know, something would come to me and I would comment. And he's like, oh my goodness, I just read about that. And so we had like this exchange that, even though I wasn't reading the books that he was reading, God was bringing up movies that I saw, things that I've read myself, situations and experiences that I went through to kind of support everything that he was reading about. And so we had this dance of information, you know, just in those moments of sharing and conversation. And so everything that we learned was just, we said, you know what, we need to write this down. And so this book is a combination of everything that we've learned, everything that we've talked about. And, you know,
not just in those 3 years that have happened, but also our entire lives. So mm-hmm. I'm 43. She's 41.
I'm okay. I'm 41.
Okay. So that's 43 years of everything that I've ever learned in mm-hmm. church, everything that I've ever learned in life. I had, you know, everything I've ever learned with mentoring students, with raising 3 successful geniuses. We have a son who's graduating college, SCAD University in a month. On the dean's list, my daughter's 4th in her class. She's graduating high school. Everything around us is genius because that's what we radiate. And all of those lessons are in this book.
I just love what you two are sharing. You know, there's so many connections between you and myself based on the messages that you're sharing. I mean, one couple that stands right out, you know, from the get-go is, one, what you're seeking is always seeking you. And two, the quality of questions you ask yourself determines the quality of life you live. And it goes back to what we talked about in the very beginning, that there's no separation, that everything is already in here. And our outward world is merely a reflection of what has been created inwardly. Mm-hmm. And so I love the topic of this book, because even the first chapter, when I read the first chapter, I was like, you know, one of the things you say is, you say that you say about how this book will not teach you how to be a genius. Mm-hmm. You are already that. Speak to that a little bit.
So the thing is, as a coach, as a certified coach, I'm clearly keen, and I understand that so let me go back. I also read a lot of books on mysticism, and I also read a lot of esoteric books. And so one of the things that I'd read not too long ago was that when God creates a seed, He creates the seed with something inside of it. There's a light inside of it. There's a picture, an image of what that seed is supposed to be. So that at all times when that seed goes into the ground and it's planted, it's growing, but it also has a picture or a blueprint inside of what it's supposed to be. And everything and everything, everything in this universe has that. And so when we say that you are already that, yes, every person is already a genius. God already put the blueprint in the person, just like he did in the seed, or he, she, whatever you want to call divine, God, source, whatever. God already put the blueprint in the seed. And so when we say you're a genius, you're already that. We're just helping to bring you awareness of it.
To help you discover it.
To help you discover, right, inwardly, you know. And so there are a lot of books that actually talk about genius. A lot of them focus on a lot of outward things. Mm-hmm. The majority of our focus in this book has to do with inward, the inner genius. Because if you can understand that genius by understanding these laws, again, law of attraction, laws of projection, all these laws, if you can understand them, then you can really, really maximize and become a co-creator with life, where you don't succumb to life on, you know, with the thought that, you know, life happens to me. You understand that it happens for you. Mm-hmm. And when you understand that it happened for you, then you can start taking advantage of these laws that you and I talk about all the time, Sherry. But for, again, the Christian looks at it as something else. But in the book, what we try to do is identify, this is what Jesus, here's what Jesus says. Here's where it is in mathematics. Here's what it is in philosophy. Here's where it is in science. Here's where it is in Buddhism. All of them are saying the same things. Why is that important? Because if we make a statement in the book, and we show it to you in five or six different lenses, then it should be safe for you to accept that thing as truth. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do. We don't force the truth upon anyone. We just will present a thought and we'll show it to you in five or six different lenses so that you can decide it for yourself.
Yeah, and have you decide. Like, we don't claim that you have to believe this or you have to do these affirmations or you have to do anything. We suggest it, you know, and we say, you know, you decide for yourself. Because I believe that everybody has a God in them that will decide what is right for them in that moment. So,
and I love how you talk about, you know, the blueprint and the realization that every one of us comes in with a divine blueprint. And what happens is like what you've been using about defragging is that we come into this family that have these habitual lineages of ways of being and beliefs that are passed down from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. We take them on and we own them and we make them real. And then we enter out into society and now we're owning everybody else's beliefs. And this is how the viruses begin to, you know, grow power in what I like to call our operating system. Now, one of the things that you talk about in your book is you mentioned that we have to defrag these areas of our life. How do we do that? How do we get rid of this stuff that's not the truth, but we truly believe it is? It's very real to us.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to try to resolve the cognitive differences. Mm-hmm. What do I mean by that? So if I have a thought and Tia has a different type of thought, okay, instead of saying that, I'm sorry. Instead of saying that, okay, well, this is true and this isn't, why don't I try to look for truth in all of the lenses? So now we're going to get into conversations on quantum mechanics.
Yeah, let's do it.
And quantum physics, because the truth of the matter is what's true in my world is true for me. And what's true in your world is true for you. But at the same time, your world might see something completely different than mine. And that's okay. How do I resolve these differences? So one of the things we talk about in the book is trying to stay away from judgment, trying to resolve differences by looking at the differences as one, as opposed to separate. Very much like you said in the beginning, the intro of this beautiful show. We don't see everything as separate. We try to see them as one as much as possible. And that takes time. That takes a lot of time and a lot of work and a lot of energy. I'm finding that it's not done overnight. I have to be able to see you, Sherry, and see that you're my sister, period. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you think. I don't care what color you are, where you come from, your socioeconomic background. That's my sister, and I love her. And I need to be able to see that in everyone. And when we do that, then we come into the place that we're defragging. Mm-hmm. The separation, the real virus that's going on in the world, you know, it's coronavirus, sure, but underneath that is something that's deeper. There's a separation that has been plaguing the planet of separation, and it starts with judgment and guilt and blame, because when I do that, I see you as other. Yeah. I don't see you as me. Mm-hmm. So if I'm constantly blaming, then I'm constantly taking on the energy of separation. And that is fragmentation. So to get away from judgment, to get away from blame, to see everyone as one is to defragment. So that's a very powerful statement that we kind of have throughout the book.
Mm-hmm. Tia, what about you?
I would just like to piggyback off of that. You know, the Bible talks about how we're many members, that we make up one body. And so just having that mentality that we're all cut from the same cloth, realizing that we're all connected. And I think, you know, once people realize that every experience in their life, every person that they've met, every situation has a purpose and a meaning. And that if we realize that once we find understanding about that experience, or whether we don't look at situations as good or bad or positive or negative, it's just a situation, it's a lesson. And so once we realize the lessons of every experience and every situation, see how it creates us as individuals, then that's defragment. We're realizing that every situation has a purpose and a meaning. And that no situation is bad in a sense, because there's a lesson attached to it that made us who we are today.
So true, because every one of those lessons is here for us, and it's revealing to us a piece of ourselves.
Yeah.
And I love how you mention in the book that every time we say I am, we are affirming in us God is. Let's speak about that a little bit.
So basically, you know, when you think about the words I am, you know, the Bible talks about how when Moses was on the mountain, God said to him, you know, tell the people I am sent you. And so I am is the name of God. It is the name of God. And so when you say I am, you're saying the God in me. The God in me is. And so if you're saying that I am rich, you're saying the God in me is rich, which gives it power and meaning. If you say, but in the same sense, if you take it to the negative and you say, I am sick, then you're saying, you know, the energy behind the words don't know positive or negative. Mm-hmm. All they know is energy. Mm-hmm. And so when you say I am sick, then it has to fulfill that law. No word, God's word cannot come back to him void. And so when you say I am, you're automatically putting energy towards whatever your words are.
So true. You want to add to that, Sean?
Yeah, for a second. Yes. We go a little bit further in the book, and we say exactly what she said, and then we go into the lens of science, and we say that, you know, when the Big Bang happened, we believe that that's the moment in Genesis where it said, let there be light.
Right.
So the Bible describes who God is and why, right? But science is one also. It describes how God did what he did. And so what we understand when we've studied atoms and molecules, right? Atoms and molecules, actually at the center of them are protons, neutrons, and electrons spinning around almost at the speed of light. And what is light? Light is God. So that means that the atoms are from source. They're from God, which means that the atoms know God's name. And God's name is I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we say I am something, then it comes into existence. But how? Scientifically, the atoms work to bring to you whatever it is you spoke. Because when you speak the name of God, they think they're hearing God's name.
Mm-hmm.
And your body is composed of 10 to the 27 atoms, which is almost like saying 7 billion, billion, billion atoms. Your body has a lot of atoms, all of them responding to the name I am. So when you say I am something, they have to. Here's a perfect example. My family was here a couple of weeks ago, and I think someone had said to me something to the effect of, there's been a lot of pollen in the air. And especially down here in South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, where we live. And I mean, it has been thick. And one of my family members said, they said, hey, you know, Sean, are you getting allergies? You have allergies? And just like that, I said, yes, I have allergies. I'm experiencing allergic reaction to something. And the next day, my symptoms actually got worse because I affirmed it and then I spoke it and I said, I am. Because the I am within me, as Tia said, energy doesn't know left or right or wrong. It just goes into the direction that you point it. So if I say I am sick, well, then the atoms and molecules have to make that come into manifestation. They have to attract to me the experiences that I spoke about. So I started getting sick because I, in that quick instance, and this is me we're talking about, Sherry. So I'm
always on my
P's and Q's when it comes to words. It was just an acceptance. I just accepted it. I said, yes, I have allergies. You know, I am.
You own it.
I can, I will. These are all declarative phrases. And I accepted it. Mm-hmm. And then I had to, you know, reverse it, in which case, you know, now I'm all better. Tea is giving me ginger tea. And so we're good.
Yeah. And prior to that, you know, he had symptoms, but he hadn't put a name to it. He didn't give it a name. It was just symptoms before. And so a lot of times, you know, we feel the symptoms first, which are very real, mm-hmm. and then we'll give a name to it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we need to be careful of, you know, what we speak.
What we speak and using the name I am. So the free download that we've given everyone is actually not chapter one. It's actually discourse number 18 in the book. So we've actually skipped ahead to and given like one of our most potent chapters as a free download for everyone to understand the power and the magnificent power that you have when you say the words I am. So yeah, I hope you guys who are here, you actually enjoy that download and you get a chance to go do it and, you know, join and really enjoy the journaling that takes place in that chapter also. We have a lot of affirmations in the book. Most of them I've gotten from a lot of mystical sources. So it's more than just the, you know, normal, I am love, I am this, I am that. We actually go into, this book is almost like a mystical journey for the reader. For the person who's ready to go inward, that's what this book is. And you start on chapter one. So if you're ready for it, it's there for you.
And, you know, the gift, you guys, if you look here on the screen across the ticker that is scrolling, it says download your free first chapter. Go to www.defragyourlife.com. Make sure that you get that free downloaded chapter, because I read this chapter and this chapter, when I first got on with Tia and Sean, I said to them, oh my God, the first chapter reminded me of my near-death experience, because mm-hmm. the same thing, when I came back into the body, you know, I'm a Christian. I literally was mm-hmm. raised my whole life in the Baptist religion. My family were ministers. My last mm-hmm. name's Gideon's, like the mm-hmm. Gideon Bible. Mm-hmm. Go figure. But the point of it is I was told I am. I am was recited to me when I went to the other side. And mm-hmm. so when I came back and what did I know at first? I went straight back to the church. Mm-hmm. And I was saying I am, and everybody kept saying to me, no, you don't say I am, you say mm-hmm. he is. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I was told in the light, I was told mm-hmm. on the other side, mm-hmm. you say I am, that mm-hmm. you are the individualized expression of I am. We are mm-hmm. gods in bodies. And Jesus mm-hmm. said the same thing. He said, ye mm-hmm. are gods, and you will do what I have done and more.
Mm-hmm.
So I just love that you're bringing in the Bible. I love that you're bringing in the mysticism,
mm-hmm.
quantum physics, quantum mm-hmm. mechanics, mm-hmm. And on top of all that, you're bringing the whole scientific side. I mean, you know, you mentioned the chakras in the very beginning, and mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. one of the things that I love the most about understanding the chakras is how it's all energy, and energy has to mm-hmm. flow through the chakras.
Mm-hmm.
What a lot of people don't know is the heart chakra is 4,000 neurites more powerful than the human brain.
Mm-hmm.
That if we develop, you know, resilience and coherence in the heart chakra, literally we put that vibration out into the field and the field does the work. We don't have to do any of this hustling or making things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So in your own journey, I mean, you mentioned the chakras. Tell us mm-hmm. a little bit about how you identify with the chakras in relationship to Christianity.
Well, We have a chapter on that too. It's a whole chapter in the book on chakras for Christians because, again, I'm a good old boy. So, I'm a strict Christian believer. So it's like anything I read, I have to be able to find it in the Word. So when I first started reading on chakras, when I wanted to see what I can do to help heal my wife, I'm like, all right, this is cute, but where is this in the Bible? Where's the Holy Ghost in it?
Yes.
And then God led me to Ezekiel. And I did an extensive study in Ezekiel and some additional studies. And I realized that the dream that he had of the wheels spinning are actually chakras in the Word of God. So we actually break that down in the Bible and show that, again, chakras are not separate. Why is this important? Because if you understand the very basic chakra system, then you can heal anything. The problem that Tia had a couple of years ago when we talked about her experience was her neck was hurting so bad. So that was the first place I know, okay, what's going on in the neck chakra or, you know, the throat chakra. Mm-hmm. And we went and looked up, what does the throat chakra represent? Speaking your voice, mm-hmm. the power of the I am coming through your vocals. And that's how God anchors his energy and it mm-hmm. starts in our heart and spreads. And so when we looked at her throat chakra, we realized she wasn't doing that. And when she started doing it, she got healed. So it wasn't the Vicodin. It wasn't the Percocet. It wasn't the Oxy. It was, do I need to go down the list? We were giving her a cocktail at once. It wasn't doing anything. The only thing that alleviated her pain was when we looked at that chakra, what it represented. She started fixing it internally, and then she got healed. Yeah. And so we kind of dibble on that in the book, but a majority of the book, because we don't know which Christian is reading this book, we try to stay very broad. So we don't go into too much detail, but it's super potent and it's just enough for you to understand and start looking at this as one. Start looking at chakras as one. Start seeing it in the Word of God and not seeing it as separate than or what's over there, etc.
Yeah. I ditto all that. Yes, I mean, definitely. I think it was a matter of me not, just like I said, not living in my truth, not speaking up. A lot of times, you know, as a wife and a mother and, you know, you don't speak exactly how you're feeling, you know, and so things get overlooked or you're not showing how you really feel. And so I think all of that, you know, as a daughter, you know, at the time, you know, not speaking my truth to my mother and, you know, all of those different situations, not doing what I wanted to do. And so a lot of times, you know, people look at that, oh, you're being selfish, but you know, there's a holiness in being selfish. You know, there's, you know, you have to self-care, you have to take care of yourself. And, you know, I'm continually learning that, you know, even now in this moment, I'm still learning how to self-care. And so all of that contributed to my pain
and then her healing. And so once we realized that, we started studying all the other chakra systems, looking for the cognitive dissonance between what we were reading in a lot of Eastern philosophy and Eastern religions and Christianity, mm-hmm. and then presenting it in this book. And we've actually gone a little bit deeper. If I can just go between me and you, I'll pretend like no one else is here.
Do it.
What we do in the book, starting with chapter one. So most books, when they write, especially if you're writing a book like this one, you'll start from the root chakra and work your way up in terms of your writing. We start from the crown chakra and work our way down. So we start the first chapter by introducing you to who you are. Mm-hmm. But we don't tell you who you are. We reveal it in a way and almost like Jesus did with parables and stories that allow the Holy Spirit in you to reveal it to you. So we don't exactly do it, but we take you right to the edge. So that's the crown chakra right there. You have to know who you are, because once you know who you are, then you know who your genius is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your genius is that thing inside of you, that it's the light inside of you. It's an adjective, it's a noun, it's a verb, it's a pronoun, but it's also a person. You know, if you're Buddhist, I would say it's the Buddha in you. If you're Christ, I'm gonna tell you it's the Christ in you. But it's that divine light, the I am that I am, that's actually inside of your heart chakra that spreads throughout the other ones. And so we kind of reveal it throughout the book in a very gentle way for the Christian so that they can accept it. But more so, Sherry, so that they can start using the tools for themselves to heal themselves of whatever is going on in their lives. I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's health. Whatever is going on inside your life, when you start understanding the concepts of inner and outer, The chakras are inner. You can't see them with the eye. So you have to understand the concept of inner and outer before we can actually start talking about the chakras. So we start with the root and kind of work our way down when we're talking throughout the book. The book is written in each chapter we call a discourse, but it's almost like a love letter that we're writing to the reader. So it'll say, dear beautiful, dear blow on, so on and so forth. It's a letter that she and I do this beautiful dance with, as she said, go back and forth. She's super potent. Super, super potent, but very, very meek and quiet. She says that she can say something in two words and you'll totally be like, wow. I might take about 5 or 6 chapters and break it down. And
oh my God, I love that. And you know, it's like so many things that you're talking about. I love how you're just breaking it down from all different levels, meaning the level of where the individual is at, because that's really what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. Jesus met people at the level of their awareness. And so as creators, here's the thing. So many of us are unconscious that we are our own creators, mm-hmm. and that we are creating our own reality. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about using our word and we discuss things around blame or judgment or anger or mm-hmm. self-worth issues and stuff like that, people are unconscious. How are your Christian friends dealing with all the different perspectives in your mm-hmm. book? Deep stuff too.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting journey. T and I have found ourselves in the desert for a minute.
I'm sure you have.
Purposefully, because you have to separate from your world, your external quantum world, when you start learning a lot of this information. I had to find out very soon that everyone wasn't accepting of the stuff that we talk about. And honestly, Sherry, that was kind of why we took our time to write the book, so that people could actually would be less judgmental to a Christian who wants to study on chakras, who wants to talk about law of attraction, who wants to talk about energy, who says that, hey, science is God too. Mm-hmm. We wrote this book for the Christians so that they would be less judgmental. It's basically for our friends so that they can be less judgmental of us, but it's for us too. It's really a manual in how to live if you grew up Christian. And so when we talk about our friends, we're kind of at the point where we don't really overtly share. Okay, she doesn't. We try not to overtly share, but we are in a space that's a little bit different than kind of what they know. And we're okay with that. Everyone has to have their beliefs. Everyone is okay to believe what they believe. This is what's worked for us. Mm-hmm. And we have fruit behind this. I have a national mentoring program that I was a part of. All of my students were successful. We have successful children. Everyone who's around us breeds genius and success, period, all day long. And so Jesus says that you shall know them by their fruits. So for me, as T and I continue to flourish, we've been married for 23 years this year. You know, do I need to go on with our list of fruit that kind of God has blessed us with from the knowledge that's in this book? Mm-hmm. So we tell our friends, say, if you want to judge us, you're more than welcome to, but know that the fruit that we've bared is quite fruitful. Like this is, there's no negativity going on here. There's no low vibration. And when it comes, we try to chop it. But Tia?
I think it's okay for people not to agree with what we believe. I think it's, at the end of the day, there's no judgment. One thing that we're confessing Jesus Christ. I mean, at the end of the day, we stand strong in that. And so we are ready to defend it because we mm-hmm. believe that this is what has changed our life. Mm-hmm. And so we're just saying, this is what worked for us and we hope that it could work for you. And so people have the choice to either choose to believe it or not. And I think that's the whole stance in the book mm-hmm. is saying that you don't have to believe this, but this is what worked for us. You know, this is the way that we produce what we produce in our lives, and we pray that it's a blessing to you. And that's it.
and honestly, if I can go a little bit further, this yeah. book has helped us not just with health, but my wife just lost her mom and her dad on the same day last year around this time. So it's like the principles in this book has helped her to stay in a vibrational state where she is both allowed to grieve, but at the same time, like, how do you overcome that? How do you move past that? How do you move with it?
And we had a newborn
all in the same year.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, COVID, and still look like this, still have your glow, still every day you get to try to figure it out. The principles in this book are the things that allows us to move past those things. So our friends, when they want to be judgmental towards us, you know, you're allowed to do that. But at the same time, it's like we know what's worked for us in our quantum world and in our kids' quantum world. So,
mm-hmm. Well, and so much of that's, I mean, look at Einstein. Einstein said everything is vibration, everything. Mm-hmm. And so if we understand that everything's vibration, what you judges you.
Exactly.
So, because it comes, like, all of the things that you've been talking about, the principles and the chakras and all of that, it's all understanding how this energy flows. And we're either going to allow it to be stopped up, mm-hmm. and continue to create this life of struggle and pain, mm-hmm. and setback, mm-hmm. or we're going to open ourselves up and be ready and receptive to this good and greater good that's always been here for us. Mm-hmm. It's just that we've been looking outwardly at the world. Mm-hmm. And so this leads me into the conversation about your point of power in the moment. Your mm-hmm. power exists in the moment. And so how do you work with your clients and you know, even the people that are in your church, how do you work with them and helping them to realize that this moment right here, right now, is all there is, mm-hmm. and that it is our state of being in this moment that is the cause of the environment and the experience that is showing up as mm-hmm. manifestation?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're in a state because everyone who comes to us, it comes to us in a different state. Mm-hmm. So we meet a person where they are. And for the most part, the people who come to us are honest, are open. That's all we need. We just want you to be open. So
seekers,
they're seekers more than anything. But when I say open, I mean, you don't have to accept what we say is truth. I just need you to, if you're going to work with us, don't quite deny it. Right. Just leave an open space in your mind. If we say something and you're not quite sure about it, don't deny it. Just say, all right, I'm not going to deny it, but I'm also not going to I'm just going to leave it there. Then the Holy Spirit works in that person. I don't have to do anything. But if you deny it, then you have denied that truth. So for example, if you deny that the law of attraction exists and you say the law of attraction does not exist, well, then that becomes true in your world. And that you're missing out on the entire purpose of life when you miss that one quintessential divine law that's littered all throughout the Word of God, all throughout the Bible. And so for us, for people who come to us, we meet them where they are, and we just ask that they stay open and that they don't deny until they've heard the different lenses, or they just stay open and allow the Holy Spirit to work within them,
yeah.
et cetera.
Yeah.
I believe it's purposeful. You know, if they're not ready to accept something that we've shared, I believe that that's just a time that God is needing to provide them with more experiences. God is, you know, needing to, you know, show them or speak to them in another way, or give them more examples to prove that, you know, what we said is true. And so I don't look at it as, I just look at it as they're not ready. Not so much that, you know, they won't be one day.
Not so much our book, but for the inward journey, mm-hmm. their own inward journey. And we're okay with that. So yeah. We're not for everyone. We're also in a very unique space in that, okay, so we're Christian, but we don't see a lot of African-Americans using the vernacular and with a lot of the revelation and knowledge that we kind of have right now.
In our circle.
Mm-hmm. And so we have a very unique, we feel, position to kind of bridge the gap between races and cultures, but also religions. Again, showing that there's no difference. This is just the color of my skin. Sherry, our second book is written already.
Our second book is written.
We're just waiting for this one to have a little bit more traction. But the second book goes into how reincarnation was actually removed from the Word of God. and some other things that you can do research on your own, et cetera, et cetera. And the only reason why I mention that is because each person comes with their own belief when they come to us. And we kind of have to find out where you are, see where you are, and then we use the I am that I am. So the same God that's in me is the same one that's inside of our clients. And the same Holy Spirit that's inside of Tia and this baby is the same one that's inside of every Adam. That same God speaks to all of us. So the Holy Spirit will speak to me and say, okay, this is what's going on with this person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if we change lenses, I can say that's reading energy, right? So we change another lens, I can say that Tia and I are in a space where we now read energy because of where we are. But in the lens of Christianity, we say, you know, you can say we're almost like prophets. And the only reason why I mention that is because when we talk about our friends, your previous question, a lot of times we understand that we have to be able to change language to meet the person where they are. Yeah. So our clients who come to us, we meet them where they are. What's going on with you? What's going on in your life? Where are you with Christianity? Where are you in religion? Where are you in Buddhism? Are you meditating? What tools do you have? Do you believe in affirmations? No, yes, no, yes, no. Okay, cool. And we'll create a specific program specifically for them. So we have a one-to-one coaching where we'll work with you over 3 months, where we go through the book. And what happens, but when I say that the book is mystical, what I really mean is as you read the book, each chapter, you start realizing that the things that you're reading are what you're experiencing. And so your life then becomes the playground by which T and I coach on a one-to-one basis. So each person is different when they come to us, and we kind of treat on an as-case basis.
I love what you just said. So many things were so juicy and ripe with what you just said, because, you know, one of the greatest, I had this amazing mentor for the last 20 years. Her name is Reverend Nancy Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter what I was facing in my life. She always brought me back to the now. And so like somebody cut me off on the road, somebody was judging me, somebody was irritating me, whatever it was. She always brought me back to that is the face of God.
Mm-hmm.
You have a choice in that very moment to realize what's in them is in you too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when we think about this whole idea of the color of your skin, you're African American, I'm white, mm-hmm. we've got mm-hmm. Mexican and mm-hmm. you know, Swedish, whatever we've got, you know, society has set us up, you know, for these beliefs where two or more are gathered, where we come more into, you know, listening to the media and wanting to judge and blame and shame, you know, whatever. And we don't realize that when we're doing that, we're embodying that vibration. We're embodying that, and we're putting that out. We're giving that out from within ourselves. That's why these things are showing up in our world.
Yeah.
Because we're giving as groups power to racism and separation instead of, you know, somebody said to me one time when I very first started High Vibe Nation, they said to me, you need to have more African Americans on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to them, I just haven't had anybody sign up on the show, you know, that was African American. It's not because I'm judgmental. My bestest friends are African American. I adore them. My mentor, Reverend Nancy Woods, is African American, but I never look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it shows you whatever is showing up in the moment. It's showing up because it's a piece of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's revealing itself for you. It's for you, like we said earlier, for you to release, to surrender, to let go of.
Yep. Yep.
Absolutely.
And I love what you've been, I just absolutely love what you've been sharing. So, one of the things that I love that you have in the first chapter is you talk about how the invisible becomes visible. Break that down for a little bit, because I want to go deep for a second and talk about how the invisible becomes visible. And just like we were saying earlier, literally it's like the law of attraction is just a cog on the wheel saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
Break that down a little bit for me.
So we spend a lot of time talking about inner and outer, and we start from the basis of our Father. We are called to be imitators of God, of source, of divine. And so what do we know? How does the Father create? How does God create? God creates, he has a thought, and then he speaks something. We know this because in Genesis, it says that God said, let there be light. So first he had a thought, and then he spoke. And then when he spoke, the thing, everything came into manifestation. The Big Bang happened. Light started spreading all over the place. Atoms and neutrons and protons and electrons. Things started spinning out of control, and boom, we have this entire universe. The Bible also says that God so loved the world. In other words, he had feelings. And so our God, source, our divine, God uses thoughts, feelings, words to manifest. Don't you think that that's how we should be manifesting also? We too have that power inside of us. And so that those are all inward things. Your thoughts inside of you. And your thoughts come from inside of you, and then they go outward through your words, through your actions, through your deeds, through your emotions. And so when we create from inner out, inward from inside out. This book was once a thought in my head and in Tia's mind. And those thoughts became words that we wrote, right? We've heard the saying, thoughts become things. Or if you want to put it in the language of the Bible, as a man thinketh, mm-hmm. so is he. That's Proverbs. As a man thinketh, so he is. So King Solomon, who wrote that, was known as one of the wisest men on the entire earth. So he thought it's so potent, so important to write down the thought, as a man thinketh, so is he. Why? It wasn't just a phrase. He was trying to describe to us divine laws. Whatever I think inside of me, whatever I speak inside of me, however I'm feeling inside of me, it comes out. If I'm having a pretty crappy day, well, then everything I see is going to be crappy outside of me, because inside of me, I feel like crap. So outside, people are going to get on my nerves. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. I have to change me inside first in order to see it outside. That's the law of projection. These are the things that people say are not in the word, but they are. If you look at the principles, if you look at the parables, these are the same exact things that our brothers who are talking about law of attraction and mindfulness and some of these other things, we're all saying the same thing. It's all one. It's not separate.
Oh my God. Preach it, brother. Preach it, my friend. Yeah. Woohoo! That was like, whoa, I felt that energy rush through me. I heard the yes. Oh my God. And I love how you use in the book the story about, or the example about Muhammad Ali, and how mm-hmm. he said, I am the greatest. And he says that he said that before he even knew he was.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we can find examples of your inner producing your outer and speaking and using the words I am everywhere. It's, you know, but the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons in Acts. And what that means is that for me, you are allowed to use his energy to the left or to the right if you want to. If you want to use it to the left, you can. If you want to use it to the right, you can. And if you want to use it for negativity, you can. Feel free to. Now, you will reap the consequences of that through karma, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or, you know, good or bad. It doesn't matter. You can go to the left or to the right. And so what we have is an entire world of people who might not have read the word of God, but are using his principles left and right. Mm-hmm. You know, I love to talk about Donald Trump. Donald Trump, and I'm not getting into politics, but Donald Trump loves himself. And that's a beautiful thing. We always hear Donald say, you know, people love me. They love me. They love me. Yes, they do, because he's speaking it. And as long as he's speaking it, they are always going to love him, period. Mm-hmm. And there's no one who can break that. There's no one on the face of this planet that's going to stop that from happening. And I use him as an example because he talks yeah. about it all the time. And I think it's a beautiful thing when I don't want to get jealous of that. I don't want to get upset at that. I want to learn how I can utilize it. So we have people like Donald and whoever else in the world who are utilizing these God laws. They don't know their divine laws, but they're utilizing them for their advantage. I think it's important that we take a look at everyone. Stop being so divisive, so separate. Democrat, Republican, white, black. We're all the gosh darn same. It's all yep. one. There's yep. I studied numbers. There's only one number in the entire universe. It's one. There is no three. There is no four. Four is just a multiple of one. What's four? Four is four ones. Mm-hmm. It's just the name that we give to four. But the real thing that exists is one. And that one is God. And we are all the other numbers. So you're Sherry and I'm Sean. You might be seven and I might be number two, but we're all a manifestation of one. I'm two ones, you're seven ones. Mm-hmm. T is eight ones, G is nine ones, but we're all one. And so when people start seeing that, we can begin to heal. We can begin to stop having this separation. I can love you and appreciate you for being whatever your political affiliation is, whatever your color is, whatever your socioeconomic background is. And those things don't divide us because we're all one. And when people start seeing that, Sherry, we can heal this earth. And I'm telling you, my sister, we can heal COVID too. I kid you not. COVID will go away when people start seeing oneness in everything. Oh, see, I'm starting to get into some stuff.
It goes back to the thing that I say every single day. It doesn't matter what the appearance is that I'm facing. I have built the commitment and the habit of knowing God is. So all I say is God is.
Yes.
And then I turn away from whatever the appearance is because I know the truth. The truth is there is only one.
Right.
And so I love what you've been sharing here, my brother. I mean, this has been freaking amazing. I knew this was going to be freaking incredible.
I knew it too.
This is so good. This is so rich. We got to have you on again with the next book too. Oh my God. So tell the audience, holy mackerel, this has been amazing. Tell the audience how they can get a hold of you. So we've got the first one up on the screen right now.
Right. You can find us on Instagram or on Facebook at Defrag Your Life. It's right there. Or Coach Sean Adams or Tia's, or you can find Tia through my Instagram. But Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we're all over at Defrag Your Life. Again, our book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all of the major distributors. But if you go to our website and order from our website, we send you an autographed copy for the same price that you would get it on Amazon. So we actually sit and we feel the name of the person and we write a message to them and we send it off in a beautiful gold package like Willy Wonka. So when you get it in the mail, you feel super special. So, those are the main places where you can reach us right now.
Awesome. Well, gosh, thank you so much, Sean.
Thank you so much for having us. Gia says goodbye also.
Hello, Gia. Bye, Gia. Oh, my God. This has been so rich and so amazing. I thank you guys so much for being here with us today. And for those of you who are in the audience, make sure you go download your free chapter. Go to www.defragyourlife.com and make sure that you pick this up. Make sure you go to Amazon and get the book or go to their website, as they said, and get yourself a autographed copy. Oh my God. I know that I've read the first chapter of the book.
Yeah.
I know that I'm getting the book because this is just amazing stuff. And as always, we are live here on Facebook, YouTube, and other social media outlets. We're on all of the podcast stations, and you can find us on the web at thehighvibenation.com. You can find us on Instagram at thehighvibenation. You can find us on Facebook at thehighvibenation. And it has been an amazing day. And I just want to thank each and every one of you, as always, for coming on here and making comments and helping our special guests to feel so amazing. And until next week, have an amazing rest of the week. Bye, everybody.
From everybody here at the High Vibe Nation, we want to say thank you for choosing to raise your vibration. And of course, please like, share, and subscribe. If you need to find us on the web, check us out at www.thehighvibenation.com. Looking for